Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
These verses right here,
this definitely starts off by telling us, like the title says, of giving wisdom. Recently, I started a new job this week, and I received a lot of wisdom. There was a gentleman on there, on my new crew, and he was telling us how, you know, since I'm young, everybody's pretty much older than me, there's definitely wisdom and knowledge that everybody has, that is passed down from generation to generation. A lot of the time we definitely know, especially through at least the Bible, and other books, things that were kept on record and have been passed down from generation to generation. As it talks about a father and a mother, it definitely definitely goes to the point of, you know, information that's passed from one person to the other, whether it be verbally, whether it be, you know, through a book like we're doing now. As my take on these first two verses, I mean, first seven verses here, speaking about wisdom. I know I do have my co-host, Minister Jamal, on the line. Good morning, Minister Jamal.
Sir. Yes, sir. Good morning. Good morning, man.
Hey, like that extra hour of sleep?
Hey, man, I was up early anyway. How about that?
Yeah, we all are. So what do you think about these verses?
Man, these verses are, you know, they're definitely very key to everything that we have been learning, everything that we have been reading in Proverbs, man. It definitely gives us an insight, man. Let me find it. I like what verse 7 says. It says, you know what I'm saying, just straight up. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. You know what I'm saying? And that's how, you know, that's how much God wants us to get it. That's how it says, though it may, and let me tell you something, man. It don't get good to the second part for real, because it says, though it costs all you have. See, some of us tight with it. Some of us want these big blessings, but we don't want to go through none. We just want to look good and sit in the front of the church. It says that even though it costs you all you have, some of us give our all to things that are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we throwing everything that we have at this thing. God tells us about this. Though it may cost you all you have, get understanding. I don't want to overstep the bounds, but in verse 8 it says, cherish her, and she will exalt you, embrace her, and she will honor you. These are the things that we have to have in life in order for us to be in line with the word, in order for God to use us to the best of our ability, in order for us to have this abundant life that Jesus Christ offers for us. Tells us that don't forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she'll watch over you. So God is explaining this wisdom and this understanding as a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you're in a relationship, nobody has to twist and bend your arm. But in a relationship, you want to do these things. You want to find these things. You want to get in depth and into these things. And God is telling us that this is how important wisdom and understanding and knowledge is. Because a whole lot of us, and I say this all the time, a whole lot of us know a little bit about nothing. We know a whole lot about nothing. We can tell you about LeBron James stats. We can tell you about how he ain't better than Jordan, how Jordan ain't better than him, and this, that, and the fourth, and the other. But we ain't got no wisdom of what really could save our souls. Well, yeah, those are my comments on these couple verses.
Amen, amen. Definitely a great start. We have any other calls that like to make any comments? These first seven verses.
Good morning. I'm with you guys. I like verse 4, where he talks about, he said, then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commandments, and you will live. The last part of that, where he says, you will live, that's powerful right there. I mean, the choices that we make, and you know, we all sing that song, it all to God at the end of the service. The choices that we make will determine, you know, how we live or where we live. And so if you want to live, like the preacher was saying, an abundant life, you got to get in there and know what pleases God. And, you know, when you know what pleases God, then you can, that's when you're really living. That's when you're really balling. That's when you really are on track. But you got to get into a place where you can learn, or someone can teach you those words, and then not just learn them, but also apply them to your life, and you will live.
Amen, amen. Great words right there. We have any other callers that like to make any comments before we move on to the next couple of verses?
I'll go ahead and make a comment. Good morning.
Morning.
Can you guys hear me? Good morning.
Yes, sir.
This is Brother Brandon. Good morning, everyone. This is my first call. First call. I think that next hour was going to help me out. I had a friend, little birdie, text me and tell me this was going on, so I appreciate it. I've had a chance to listen, and I definitely agree, because I also think too, sometimes people confuse knowledge and wisdom as kind of being the same, because you know, knowledge is, you can have all this information, you can know all these things, but the wisdom is actually, and I think my buddy touched on it, you know, applying it to your life. You know, like you all said, like you can know stats, you can know all these things, but if you're not applying it to your life, then what good is it to have all the knowledge, to study, to know all these things, but you're not taking advantage of it? And the most key important part is to actually apply that to your life. You know, I've always been an advocate to say, look, everybody can quote scripture. The devil knows scripture. He knows where to find certain passages in the Bible and things like that. That's all fine and dandy. But if you can actually take that, take it with you and actually apply it to your life or help somebody else out, then that's when you really start taking advantage of true wisdom. Wisdom is not just saying, oh, I know where to go to find this or know where to find that. Wisdom is actually applying it to your life, and then that's how you get better, and that's how we continue to grow. So don't ever think just learning something and memorizing it is the only step. Yeah, that's the first step. Then you have to make sense of it and say, okay, how does this apply to my life? Or how can I use this when I'm in a time of struggle? Or how can I use this when I'm going through things on my job or going through relationship things? That's when the application starts. And I think as Christians, we sometimes fall short. You know, we sing these songs. You guys know we're in the music ministry. We sing these songs. These words have meaning. It's more than just chords and just singing verses. These words have meaning. But if you truly just say, well, I'm memorizing the song, but I'm not applying those verses to my life, what's the purpose of singing? You know, you ever notice when people have those moments when they're in church and they're singing, all of a sudden they may stop or they kind of get in the spirit because those words resonate with them or resonate with somebody and say, hey, I've been there. I know what that's like, or that song is speaking to me because it actually has meaning. So I think go beyond just the knowledge part of just knowing all these things and memorizing all these things, but actually taking ownership of it and understanding what it is. Because if I'm not mistaken, wasn't this book written by, what was this, Solomon write Proverbs?
A lot of it.
Yeah, one of the wisest men ever. So it's like you have one of the wisest people in the Bible telling you, giving you information to say, hey, look, this is how you do it. This is how you go about it. And we need to take, you know, full advantage of it. And, you know, and until we do, I think that we're going to always kind of keep running into those brick walls and running into those problems that we have, the same problems that plague the church and plague a lot of our lives. So application is very important, at least from what I've read so far. Amen.
Definitely great words right there. Appreciate you calling in, sir. And moving forward, Mr. Jamal, you want to take those next couple verses? You briefly touched on verse 8. You want to continue that?
Yeah, I just like to piggyback on, you know what I'm saying, shout out to Brother Brian and the whole new birth. I just want to piggyback on some things that he said too, man. You know, it's definitely important that, you know, even with this, you know, man, I got a next weekend, man. I got a mime at a church, and you know, it's more than just, you know, It's more than just knowing the moves and knowing the steps, man. You know, just like Brother Brandon said, man, that's just one part of it. But when you know the steps and then you allow God to move in such of a way, right, that when you think over your life, and this is how song choice happens. The choice of song is just not because, oh, man, I know this will get the crowd going. I know this will do that. I know this will do that. And so many people have, you know, have requests. Hey, man, can you do this? Hey, can you do that? Hey, can you do this? And these songs are fire. Trust me, these songs are fire. But it doesn't tug at my spirit, you know, because sometimes it's just something about when you go through something, and when you've gone through it, and the words begin to come out, and the movements are so on point because you have experienced loneliness, you have experienced depression, you've experienced all these things, man. And when you realize that God has gotten you out, that song becomes so much stronger. That's why, Brother Brandon, like he said, you know, they get into the spirit because, man, when you think about the goodness in these songs that you are singing, and you can just go over your life and realize the things that he has brought you through, now it's personal. And I know something about people when things get personal to them. So when things get personal to people, they get emotional. And they start just reminiscing about all the things that God has done for us. And that's why I like that. Get the song down packed, that's good. You got to know, you in the key, that's good. But allow God to work, and I guarantee you that he'll show up and show out. See, the moves become crisper. The notes will become better because, see, you're singing to the glory, and it ain't nothing like somebody dancing or singing to the glory. Because, see, now you're so caught up that the people that was in front of you, they ain't even there no more. What you start to see is God, and you start to get that one-on-one connection, and then you start to say that I don't care how I look. I don't care what's going on around me. I got to get this. So when you get to the place that at all costs, I got to get this, see, God gonna bless. So we got to be able to, you know, we got to be able just to be used, you know, and just be willing. And God has blessed us with talents. Yes, he has. So just imagine that you allow him to move that talent. If you allow him to operate what's going on, it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a takeover. You know, I've seen it happen multiple times. That when you just allow God to get in it. I remember it was this one song. It was called "Yes" by Shekinah Glory, and my brother, me and my brother doing it, and I stepped up. And when I stepped up and I lift my arms, I couldn't even move no more. I was just in a stuck like a praise mode. But everybody that was in the room felt that praise, and it's something about that when that praise get contagious. See, this is what I mean. Sometimes you can force people into the worship. See, because, see, when the worship is on you, it starts to rub off into the people that's sitting beside you. And when two or three are gathered in his name,
that's right,
he is in the presence. So when you think about that when two or three are gathered in his name, what I like to say is that even when two, see, Jesus make that third. And see, when that three comes, then it's something about that number three. When you get together, you have a good time in the Lord. So, my bad, we all try. Let me get to let's continue on to these verses. Say verse 8, right? Yeah. I'm going to start at verse 8. It says, cherish her. Now, we're talking about understanding and wisdom again. And so it says, cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with the glorious crown. See, do you see how the benefits of having this wisdom, the benefits of getting this understanding, and just like Brandon said, applying it to your life. Applying it to your life and being able to get the great things that God is talking about. Like when you cherish her, she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. And see, it goes on to verse 10 and says, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. These things that are adding years and years and years onto your life, We just have to get it, and we have to want wisdom and understanding like our life is dependent on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to want it. We have to be able to have the willingness to say that no matter what it takes, and we have to be fine with that. I preached a sermon not too long ago, and it says that it's painful, but it's necessary.
Mm.
Some things that we have to go through in our lives that is going to be painful, but it's necessary for God to be able to use us. See, we in a generation where you can't just talk the talk now. They want to see the steps. They want to see you walking. They want to see the scars. They want to see the record. They want to see everything. And so now that when we able to put ourselves in that place, I guarantee that we'll be able to move the way God wants us to move. What y'all think about that?
Definitely agree with that. Definitely, a lot of the time, at least in the world aspect, once people get desperate, or once things start to go wrong, that's when you start to call on them. And it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. And then it comes down to that. And then once you get that desperate, you're looking at every angle for God to come in and try and fix it.
But
you got to do that first. If you do that first, you use that wisdom, like Brandon was saying. You know who to go to. You do that first, way before the situation happened, way before the problem, and then it works out itself. You have any other callers that like to make any comments? All right. We have a couple minutes here. Which verse did you leave off, Minister Jamal? Hello?
I think he left on verse 9.
We'll go to verse 10. It says, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the ways of wisdom, and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." So I'm going to stop right there. These verses right here just are a recap of what we've been talking about. Speaks of in this last verse about, for it is your life. A lot of this wisdom that we've been going over, you know, for these last couple years, definitely it's sticking now. And when you look at it, and after you read through these proverbs now, you definitely have an understanding of what's going on and how wisdom in everything that we pretty much do and work through in our lives. Then earlier in the verse, like it talks about again, it says, "Listen, my son." So a lot of the time, even in later chapters, it talks about, you know, the fool. And a lot of the time, a fool doesn't want to listen, and he doesn't want to get that understanding because, you know, a lot of the time people know everything. People know how to do this, know how to do that. And a lot of the time, for me coming up, there's always somehow a better way of doing anything. And as we've changed from generation to generation, you know, we have phones now. We have wireless phones now. We got rechargeable batteries. We got everything. And, you know, it changes. So wisdom is always changing. And that knowledge that we gain from it, it always is there to help us. Like Jamal was saying, you know, she's always there. She's always going to be willing to help us, and we're going to benefit from it when we use it properly and on time. What do you guys think about these verses right here?
Well, I like that verse 11 where it talks about instruct you of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. And I always like to say every day is a journey. And you can take a journey on if you had like a sailboat or a boat, and you might know the where you want to go. But sometimes in life, the waves might get a little choppy, the wind might blow, might have some complications on your vessel.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you have the wisdom of what to do in case the wind gets a little heavier, or what to do when the waves get a little heavy, or what to do when the current stirs up. If you have the wisdom how to do that, you can get through those difficult times. And everybody's going to have a difficult time, but if you hold on to the wisdom of God and godly people, you'll get your path. You'll get to where you need to go, and you'll get there safely. And wisdom will lead you along that straight path. But come know that those winds and those trials and those tribulations are going to come. But hold on to God's wisdom, and you'll get to where you need to be. And you won't look like what you've been through. You'll look like you'll have that garland on and that grace on your head, like verse 9. But the whole thing is you follow wisdom. It's like, well, how did you make it through that? It was stormy in his life. He went through this. She went through that. How did they get there? Well, you held on to God, and God brought us through.
Amen.
Do you have any other callers that like to make any comments on these verses as we begin to digress? All right. If not, taking to the next couple verses here as we begin to close. So it says, "Do not set." I'm sorry. Do not set foot, I'm in verse 14, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your own way, for they cannot result until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. So these verses right here are very true. We all know those people who like to cause chaos, who like to used by the devil in many ways. And a lot of the time, sometimes they may be fooled to it and they may not even notice it, you know. A lot of the time, I mean, in the workplace, whether it be in a relationship or anything, sometimes people do things, may just be spiteful, may just be trying to cause, like, certain situations that they think will happen for them to happen. And a lot of the time, you know, at least from my experience, a lot of the time, you know, some things happen that are supposed to happen. I mean, happen that are supposed to happen, let me put it that way. And, you know, once you continue to stay in the wisdom and, you know, keep these words, you'll start to use it to stay away from those people. And learn, you know, who's around you. Learn about your environment. Like I said, I started a new job. You know, you start learning about different people. In the field I'm working in, you learn about how people, you know, live and how they work with other people. Having new endeavors just definitely shows you, you know, a different aspect of the world. And definitely just to remember and all of this, you know, that this wisdom is always going to be there to help you and definitely help you with the people that are around you, definitely friends, whether it be certain acquaintances that you know in the world. That's my take on these verses. You guys have any other comments as we close?
You know, I think those verses are very powerful because I don't just look at, you know, I think one of them is said just like following wicked people, but also take it beyond just the people, but also just the world. I mean, the world that we live in, a lot of what people do, they're following, you know, these worldly trends and being so much of the world and less about Christ. But I thank God for my experiences. You know, I don't want to ever not appreciate, and I know it's going to sound crazy, not appreciate being around those bad people or following the wrong crowd or whatever, because that's the only way that I would have learned and gotten to the point that I am now. So I believe some of those trials and tribulations are necessary because those experiences you learn from, therefore it makes you better. So I'm actually a better person because I went through those things, because I followed the wrong people, because I hung around upon people, I listened to the wrong people's ideas and thoughts, but I kind of needed it, you know, and it's weird. It's not like I purposely put myself in that situation, but at some point I realized this isn't right. This isn't for me. And the only way I was able to realize that is because I developed my relationship with Christ. You know, I think finding moment when the light bulb goes off and you're like, okay, I got to get out of here. I'm surprised I made it this far. I'm surprised I'm not in jail. I'm surprised I'm just not anywhere else but where I'm at now, but I need to get out. You know, and God has allowed you to get to that point and kept us, because there are some people out here that aren't as fortunate as people who join gangs, people who've done things the wrong way, done all these different things following the wrong people, and they're not here to speak about it. Or I've had to learn from their lesson, and sometimes God allows that to happen, and people don't like to hear it, but it's a reality. So many things going in the world, and guess what? Somebody catches it. Somebody pays attention to say, I could have been that brother, or I could have been that sister right there, or you know what? I'm in the same boat. They're dead and gone, but you know what? Let me take heed and get out of this situation before something happens. So I do appreciate what I've gone through, but the verse couldn't be more true, because I've been in that point. But like you said, it goes back to what we talked about, applying what we've learned. I knew right from wrong. I knew my mother would have a fit if she knew what I was doing. I knew pastor would, you know, look at me like, hey, you know, kind of whatever. My dad be like, man, we didn't raise you to be that. But I had to go through that and start realizing, like, you know, mom and dad weren't crazy. They kind of knew. But it took for me to get to that point where I say, you know what, I've had enough. This isn't right. But I had to know it and experience it for myself. Like, your parents can tell you all these things and people would tell you these things, but sometimes as kids, we got to go through it. I mean, they try to tell us because they've been there. You know, why do you think your parents know so much? Because they've been there, or they know somebody that's been there, and they don't want it for you. But, of course, we're like, mom and dad, you know, you don't know. What they know. Your mom was 19 once. Your dad was 21, 22 once. They know the same trials and tribulations that you go through. They've been through. Look, it may not be a cell phone. It may not be social media, but it's all the same thing. You know, dealing with people. That's what it boils down to, having to deal with people, having people in your lives that you really shouldn't have in your life. But they know, and that's why they tell us. But as hard-headed as we are, and I've been there, my brothers have been there, sometimes we put ourselves in a predicament. Guess what? We got to go through it. And then when we realize in that one night or that one incident, you're like, I should listen to my mother. But it's okay. You learn, you live, you apply, you move on, you get better. You go on to the task or the next lesson. But, you know, just keep in mind that some of those things are necessary, because I know they help shape who I am. I have my scars, my physical ones, my spiritual ones, but guess what? Those are the reminders that I need, that no matter how bad it gets, so let me change that, no matter how bad I think, because a lot of times we psych ourselves out, it's not as bad as we always make it, but no matter how bad I think it is, these scars remind me that you're not going to go that way. Find another way to get there, or find another way to get out of it. But these scars that I have, the physical and the spiritual scars that I have, these are constant reminders to say, we're not going back there. That's a lesson we learned. We put that away years ago. We're going to find a better, more productive way to do it. And that better, productive way is through Christ. You know, Christ has all the answers. We have to just continue, as Pastor said, to hold on to his hands, to stick with it, to stick it out. We'll be better when we get out on the other side. And I know I'm a living testimony of that.
Thank you. Appreciate that comment, Brother Brandon. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to the first word, your first time here. You definitely come back. Love having you on here, man. Appreciate it. All right. Mr. Jamal, you still there?
Yes, sir.
If you would do the honor, sir.
You know, at first, man, that was just a confirmation. You know, I needed to hear that, you know, because certain things, you know, as a young preacher, man, they don't, you know what I'm saying, they don't really realize that, you know what I'm saying, you're still a man at the end of the day, or you're still a young man at the end of the day, and you won't do some things, man. you know, in my previous situation, you know what I'm saying, I just felt like a lot of people just turned their back on me and, you know, and they just threw me away, you know what I'm saying? People said that they were going to call, man. They ain't even called, you know what I'm saying? But when I got into my new situation here at the Heart of God, man, I learned, you know what I'm saying, from I had to do certain things in my life. I had to go through certain things in my life, even to reach certain people. You know, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, these high, these preachers that's, you know what I'm saying, names, they go to places, man, they not accepted because, you know, they forget about where they came from. You know what I'm saying? They forgot that God met them where they was at too. You know, so you know, I just, you know, I just thank God for that word, you know what I'm saying, that last comment, because, you know, that really blessed me this morning. So, you know, if all hearts and minds are clear, we're going to go to the Lord. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Father God, thank you for this day that we've never seen before, Father God, and we're not going to never see again, Father God. We just thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you, Father God, for this first word, Father God, where it is feeding us, Father God, every Sunday, Father God. Thank you for everybody on the line, Father God, the ones that are always here, Father God, the ones that are newly coming, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for just life, Father God. We thank you for all our trials and tribulations, Father God, that make us who we are. So, Father God, we ask you, Father God, just to be in our church services, Father God, wherever they may be, Father God. Let your anointing fall afresh right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. We thank you. We bless you, Father God. We praise you. Until the next time, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Till next week, this is the first word.